Luke 24, verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. I want you to think about that statement. Their eyes were restrained. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. These were the Old Testament scriptures. And he was explaining, the New Testament scriptures hadn't been written. But he was explaining to them from the Old Testament all those passages and words that were talking about Jesus. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, he blessed, he broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11, those who were with them, gathered there, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Let us pray. God, we thank you again for your word is powerful and mighty. It's in your word that we recognize you. We recognize God, and we see and hear and witness the powerful way in which you move in our lives. Bless now the reading of this word, and as it goes forth, may it accomplish that which you want it to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, a few years ago, I was on a road like the one of these two disciples that the scriptures bring to us this morning. And some of you have been on that road too. A few years ago, in a 3-month period, my family experienced the death of my father. Michelle's surgery, and then having come out of the hospital, had to go back with blood clots. And I experienced a detached retina the week of Holy Week, in which the doctor said, you have to lay down for 4 weeks, much like Miss Jean had to do after the surgery and the healing. And I said to him, I said, this is Holy Week. I'm a United Methodist minister. You don't understand. And with all the sympathy and empathy that he could muster, he says to me, this too shall pass. And I wondered, I was much like those disciples. It had been a rough 3 months. And sometimes despair sets in, and sometimes hopelessness sets in, and all the other things that come with that when we experience something like that in our lives. And so we're on this road, and we don't know where the road is going to end. We don't know where the road is going to take us. Sometimes we don't even have an idea where we're going. What is the final objective? But we saw, just as these disciples on the road to Emmaus, that 7-mile journey, we saw Jesus in that experience. We saw Jesus in the lives of the members of this congregation. We saw Jesus in the lives of those who came and stepped in the pulpit, lay and clergy, to lead the church over those 4 weeks. We saw Jesus in those who brought food to the home and sent cards and letters. We saw Jesus in those who came and cut our grass. Even though I had a couple of able-bodied teenagers who could do it. And they would have. But people showed up to do it without asking any, just to help out, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in that difficult and trying time for us and our family. And so we find ourselves on another road in the next few weeks. And you do too, as a congregation. And sometimes as we go down that road, just like these two disciples, we say Cleopas and the other disciple, they were not part of the inner circle that Jesus, that was part of Jesus' inner circle. They were not in the upper room. We don't know what they were doing. Maybe they were running away from all that was taking place because they felt. It just felt like, I can't stand that. I can't be around that. And so as they're walking down this road, you know, we don't know where they were going. Maybe they're going back to mend their nets. They're going back waiting till Monday morning came to begin their same routine that we all find ourselves in sometimes. You know, that routine of getting up and going to work and taking care of the children and going to school and we come home. And sometimes we're on this merry-go-round and we wonder, where does it end? And what's in it as we're traveling along that road? What's in it? Where's the joy? Where's the peace? Where is the happiness that we're supposed to have or that we think we're supposed to have in this life? And all along the way, you know, dreams that we've had for us or for ourselves or for our children, they seem to break before our eyes. And all along the way, there are other challenges and difficulties. You know, they're just there. It's part of life. And it's into the midst of that Jesus comes. He's not revealed to them at first. The scriptures say God did not reveal it to them at first. Sometimes God hinders us from really seeing what's taking place in our lives. Maybe he's trying to teach, I don't know. Maybe he's trying to teach us something. Maybe he knows if certain things are revealed to us in that moment in time, we might not be able to embrace it, or we might not be able to let it speak to us the way that it should. Where sometimes down the road, when things like that happen, we understand, as the song says, we'll understand it better by and by. But as they go along and they talk, we hear this stranger beginning to talk to these two disciples who have lost all hope. They had put their trust in this Messiah Jesus. And now he's gone. They'd put all their hope, everything that they had in him, but they had a different alternative. Their goal was different than what God's was in Jesus, his only son. And we are told that the scriptures are explained to them on the road. And that while they're on that journey, their hearts begin to burn within them. Because of that conversation. And so along the journey, you can probably sense, can't you sense with me the disciples? Can't you sense with me that cloak of grief over the death of Jesus and the mourning that they were going through because they had lost someone that was very precious and dear to them? Not understanding it, not knowing why here, why now. Can't you feel that cloak of grief and that curtain begin to kind of lift a little bit? Because their heart, their souls were burning within them. Because Jesus was there, because he had met them, because he had begun to reveal to them his presence, they begin to walk a little bit lighter. The journey then now doesn't seem as bad as it did when they first started out. They have some idea now of where they're going and where they need to be and what they need to be doing. But Jesus doesn't force himself on them. They get to their home. And Jesus gives them the choice of whether they want to keep him, if they want to continue in conversation with him, in relation with him. Jesus doesn't invite himself into their home. They have to do it. They are the ones that have to invite him in. And they do. I want to ask you a question this morning. God's love and it is free to us wherever. We as individuals have to take that step to invite Jesus to go with us. That's because God loves you and me. He gives us the choice. Just as he gave those disciples, that they had the choice whether to invite Jesus in their home or just say, see ya. They didn't know who he was. Not at that moment in time. But they recognized that something different, something powerful that had happened along that journey. And it was good. It was good enough, and it made them feel well enough that they invited him in. Brothers and sisters in Christ, all along the way, we talk about inviting Jesus in our heart and he saves us and he gives us life and we invite the Holy Spirit in. But you know, that has to be done all along the way. There are certain parts of your life and my life that we don't want Jesus to have anything to do with it. Do we? You know what they are. But I submit to you that if we do, if we invite Him into our despair and grief and changes in life, if we invite Him into our finances, if we invite Him into our families all along the way, and what do I mean by that? When we have a situation, we pray. When God abundantly blesses us more than we should be blessed, we give it. When we have disagreements with one another, we invite Jesus to be a part of the conversation. It's not about what I want and you want. It's about what God wants. So all along the way, we have to make those commitments over and over again. It's not that Jesus is not there. It's that He gives you and me the choice of where and how and when and what part of our lives that we want Him to be a part of. And I got to tell you, brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes that's difficult for me. It's hard for me. Just as it is, I know it is for you. But when we invite Him in and we sup with Him and we break bread with Him, we see Him. He's there. All of a sudden, our lives are touched in a way that we would not have known if we had not freely opened ourselves up to His loving presence and power. So these disciples go back to the other disciples and say, "We've seen Him. We know He's here." And that's what we have to live into as Christian believers. Those two disciples gave Jesus the invitation. They were free to choose, and so we are too. We are free to choose how we will spend the rest of our lives with Jesus. And you know, sometimes sometimes we think that we know the way or I know the way. But it's only when we truly give our whole selves to Christ's presence and power will we really, truly know and embrace what He has to offer every one of us. In a few moments, we will celebrate Holy Communion. And I invite you to once again, as we celebrate, to ask yourself, where do I see Jesus today? Also to ask yourself, what part of my life have I not freely invited Christ to be, Jesus to be a part of? Then ask yourself, how can I do that? Let us pray. God, we thank You again for the Word of God, for Your presence, where You reveal Yourself to us in ways that we know not of. And God, when You come to us, in whatever circumstances they might be, may we recognize You. And sense that Your presence will reveal Yourself to us in such a way that we see You and are not overcome by life's journeys and difficulties. We're not overcome by despair. We're not overcome by anxiety. We're not overcome by words that hurt. decisions that challenge us. Changes that could make us be, that could cause us to be bitter. Because we know when we trust all things to you, you bring life, love, and hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.